Welcome everyone. I'm going to share my screen when I'm doing some stuff in the beginning, just a general HunterISK stuff, just to go over some of the basics, some general fun things that I was researching, came across. And if anyone wants to give a chabur about any one of these topics, feel free. Then I'm going to go inside Shulchan Aruch and do Machlokas Shach and Taz. I think it'll elucidate one part of HunterISK, and for me, it took something in Shulchan Aruch and machloket that was on the Svarim in the Rishonim and Achronim and made it alive when we talk about Heteriska, because lots of Heteriska things are found in very contemporary Svarim, because it's so much not in Shulchan Aruch. There are many tshuvas, but they're from the last few 100 years, and the last 100 years mostly. There's not so many, there are parts of it, but not lots of sections of it that are in, the machlokas don't go back to Rishonim. So, not some do. Here we go. Part of it's from Rabbi, a shir from Rabbi Reis, and part of it from Rabbi Bleich in his Sefer Contemporary Halacha Problems. So, Rabbi Reis's shir was a lot about the Quicken Loans, Heteriska Klali, that Chase did, I don't know, 2 years ago with one of the Rabbanim from the Aguda. And in his shir, he mentions something interesting just about Harama. This is a global question I'm going to definitely get to when I get to the Taz. None of the answers that I'm going to say right now are super awesome, but just to mention them, why isn't Heteriska generally Haramis Ribis based on what the Gemara calls Haramis Ribis, doing with Svarim, selling something to somebody and saying, I'll sell to you for cheap, you can sell something for cheap, and then buy back later for more money? The Gemara calls that Haramis Ribis. Why is that not true of Heteriska? So Ray Reese was just saying off the cuff, he was just mentioning a Svara that the Torah Tumimah brought, which was fascinating. Maybe today, the way that commerce works is that money itself is like a commodity. We use money. It used to be that you used to use food or any other item in order to buy and sell and do commerce with. Today, money is a means of commerce itself that you use it to. Now, that story to me is hard to understand and to incorporate into Torah, but he said maybe the whole economic system has changed so dramatically that we shouldn't worry about the Haramah service. Anyway, basically that we're going to try to get to is hopefully, I think the best explanation is if you work it out properly, there is some exposure, there is some risk, there is some real transaction going on with Heteriska that it's not totally, it's not totally guaranteed interest. Okay, anyway, a fascinating thing that Reese got into was about this acquiring loans part, which I'm not going to get into, but was immediately after they buy the mortgage of the houses, they give someone a big loan, and then they immediately sell it to other companies who are willing to buy this debt from somebody else. They offer the mortgages and then they give it to somebody else. And if they don't have a Heteriska, but they're never going to be the ones actually collecting the interest, they're just selling it off to somebody else. Is that going to be a problem, really, if the second person is non-Jewish? The first person, let's say, is Jewish. One of the big owners of Quicken was Jewish. If the second person is non-Jewish, so he was talking about that might be a big machlokas. What it comes up in Shulchan Aruch, in Kuf Samach Chet and Tet, is in Sif Yud Chet, they talk about just as they talk about selling debt of a non-Jew. I have a loan of a non-Jew. I lent $1,000 to a non-Jew. He's going to give me ribis. So I want to sell it to Dubin. I want to sell it to you so you can make the ribis from this non-Jew, or I sell part of it, or I cut off some percentage. I sold to, I get, got 10% from him, but I'm going to give it to you for 8%. So you give me $1,000 and I'll give you the, his loans. He'll give you the 8%. You just have to give me the 2%. So they talk about how to work that out so it's not actual ribis. There is a way to do that, but you have to sell him, make you, basically, I want to make sure that you're the new lender. I'm nothing now. So the same thing potentially could happen in that situation when you're going Jew to Jew to, the first situation was not a good one. You shouldn't set up a ribis thing, even if you're planning on selling it. But he said, at least b'di'evet, after the fact it was set up, could be, it was be able to be paid and collected later. Anyway, that's, and he said it's totally on different things over there. Okay, l'chachila b'di'evet, just the general piece
What's
of.
the deal with that second case?
He said most poskim. Okay, so here, what he said here was Chavos Das says the way you think about, and if you, Chavos Das is that you can't just change the names on the contract and say that the new buyer is the lender. And therefore, if you're able to, if it's possible to end, I'm sorry, no, that the Chavos Das is basically going to be the Machmer Shita here. And the Mikel Shita here, he said, is other contemporary poskim, this Rabbi Gestetner, but I don't know if that was the Horus Nothing, he said, it's a contemporary rabbi, said, and this is from, I think, the Maharam and the Mordechai, in the very end of Kos HaMachet and Tet, the Ramah quotes a Mordechai, it's very important, Chuvas Melter, it's called, about Zakva Lav Milva. If you, the person says the entire Ribbis contract from the Goy that I got was not $1,000, now it's worth $1,000, $1,100 because he's going to give 10% interest, and I sell to you, basically I'm selling to you, Dubin, here's $1,100 coming as a check from a Goy, and we're not going to look at this as Ribbis, we're going to look at Karen and Ribbis as one big thing, and the most critical piece of it is, and the Goy can't pay off early. If he can't pay off early the debt and never have to pay the ribbis, if he could pay off the loan, the Karen, and never have to pay the ribbis, so then you have to look at it as interest. It's accruing over time. But if you could say there's a penalty for premature payment, which some mortgages somewhat do have, now somewhat the what when I read online is that the government has somewhat stopped that, so that might make it less pashut. But he said, according to this Svara, anytime...
What about if it's not for the entirety of the loan? Meaning, like the Maisa, most loans have yield maintenance, which is what you're referring to. As a lender, I'm giving you money. I don't want to do it if you're going to pay me back tomorrow. So I require yield maintenance. I need to get at least 12 months of interest, but it could be a 2-year loan. Right. So it's not that you're required to pay me interest for the full 2 years, but at least 1 year you have to pay me.
So he was saying. I don't know exactly. This is not, he said it so quickly, and he said this is like a big sugya, so I don't really know. What he said is, according to that like svara of Zakva Lava Milva, if you can't pay up early, which I don't think is the case that in general that they asser completely paying up altogether orally. What I read online is that sometimes they have a prepayment penalty for 6 months, 80% of the 6 month of the mortgage payments for 6 months that they charge you if you pay up early. But that's not a complete not being able to pay. So if so, this might work out, to be makel. The svara was that the person buying it is going now to be buying a loan, I'm not selling him a mechira, I'm selling him a full loan. So in the case in Shulchan Aruch, I want to make sure that it's basically like I want to make sure that you're the loan, the lender, not the buyer. When I'm talking about two Jews, we're talking about I borrowed from Chase, which is a Jew, and now we want to sell it to a Goy. So we want to make sure that Goy is going to be the lender. So if they can't pay up early, that's better for this situation. You want to make the Goy not a buyer. You want to make the Goy a lender. Anyway, that was he said. Rav David Feinstein said his mutter b'di'eved. Now at least they have the heteros k'klali with the Quicken loans. All right. Anyway, so just general thoughts. The Chavetz Chaim talks a lot about chesed, that it's a big, that no matter what we're going to do with heteriska, it's not a kiyam mitzvah of chesed to give a free interest loan. There is a big mitzvah of chesed. And the heteriska, it could be its mudra l'chila, but it's never going to actually compensate for that mitzvah. So he suggests a person should set aside money to do the mitzvah. Aside money to do that. It's a tzedakah, to give people an interest-free loan. Adding more conditions. This is where I saw something that was like interesting contemporary wise. Rabbi Bleich talked about this a lot, and a certain new sefer I saw talked about this a little bit. It's called Heter Iska Achadash. Rabbi Avram Carmel, I don't know, came out a few years ago. It was on Ezra Chachma, had Latas Gamas, had 500 pages on Heter Iska, and he talked about the same problem Rabbi Bleich was talking about, is that a lot of times Heter Iska Klalis don't get held up in court. Unfortunately, in secular court. What happened is in Israel, he said, many years ago, they had, Tufshin Mem Hei, many, many years ago, 35 years ago, so it had that Gedolim came out and said that unless they're going to, certain banks have to make sure they're actually going to keep the Heter Iska, otherwise, we're going to tell people that they shouldn't use the bank. So, okay, the bank said, fine, we'll put up a sign saying Heter Iska Klali. Great. That's certain. So, it was happening from the Rabbanut from before the establishment of Israel, but okay, great. So they said one case happened. A non-from Jew, not as religious Jew, took out a big loan and then lost a lot of money and then came and said, look, there's heteriska klali. He went to the secular courts and he said, I have heteriska klali and I want to swear to the fact that I lost a lot of money. And the bank said, the heteriska is meaningless. And the lova said, I know, I agree. The whole thing is like it's a joke, but you have to sign up. And the person, and so the secular court said, look, he said it was a joke. So they threw out the heteriska. So the Rabbanim got upset about this. Fine. And then he has a dozen other sort of similar examples. Rabbi Bleich has an example where someone had, they were charging a tremendous amount, 30-40% interest on $1 million. And the person comes to secular court and says, you broke the usury law charging so much interest in New York City, whatever the law is, 25%, whatever it is. And the guy said, no, I have heteriska. According to heteriska, it's not interest. And at one point he said the court shot it down and said, no, but the reason they did is because you called it interest in the loan document. You had 30 pages, it said interest, interest, interest. And one thing stapled at the end, it said it's not interest. And so on and so forth. So he had lots of other types of examples that didn't make the Rabbanim happy, let's just say.
Which paper is that?
This is called Sefer Iska Hachadash. It's called Heter Iska Hachadash.
I was regarding the Heter Iska Kloli, what you said is profound.
is what? Is red?
Profound. What you said about the Heter Iska Narsis Stroke. You know, people think it was a story that happened years and years ago, but it's actually still the Messiah. So, literally, I'm talking about less than 8 months ago or so, I was closing a loan for a hotel here in New York, and it was an $80 million mortgage. $40 million was coming from Bank Hapoalim USA, and $40 million was coming from Bank Hapoalim in Tel Aviv. And it was one mortgage, but Bank of All in USA got $40 million from headquarters. So I was dealing with both the lawyers in Israel and the lawyers here. And I asked for Heter Iska Prati, right?
Okay.
And they wouldn't give me a Heter Iska Prati. They said, just rely on the Heter Iska Kloli. So I spoke to a bunch of Rabbanim and they said, okay, whatever. The Heter Iska Kloli is fine. So my problem was that in a loan document, in every single loan document, and this is the story, and you have to figure out how to solve this, but I still don't have an answer. But as a lender, let's say Chas V'Shalom, person jumps off my building, right? So the lender doesn't want to get sued for that, right? Doesn't want liability for anything that happens in my building. So there's a clause in every loan document that says, you know, disregard, you know, notwithstanding, it is very clear that there is no partnership between borrower and lender, and the only relationship between these two partners are specifically mortgage lender and mortgage borrower. So I brought up to Rabbi Willig. I said, how could you tell me that a heter iska means anything when I'm signing on a document that says there's no shutzus whatsoever? And it's only borrower and lender. And he really did think it was a big problem. And he didn't know how to solve it. So he referred me to Rabbi Reis. Rabbi Reis said, since Bank Hapoalim has the heter iska kloli, just put in the mortgage document that this mortgage document is in accordance with the bylaws of the bank. Right? Which is basically sort of sneaking in and saying, like, this document is in accordance with the heter iska because the heter. Right, so I tell this to the attorneys on the phone, and this Israeli attorney who's the chief counsel for Bank Hapoalim says, "I see what you're trying to do. you're trying to get it to buy the Heter Iska, but she's like, but let me tell you, the Heter Iska Kloli is not included in the bylaws of the bank." And she told me straight out, she said, "The Heter Iska Kloli, she said, this is a tekef dati shasinu lefayet et hadatiim, but it has, it, she says, it will not hold up in court." And if you were to argue, if you were to, you know, not pay us back or something, whatever, if you were to have a loss and you were to go and you were to fight on this, you would not win. And it's in our internal directive to make sure that the Heter Iska has no actual currency in a court of law. Aye. So I like, whatever, how we solve that is another problem. But my point is, sorry for another time, but my point is that even today, the Heter Iskafeli and Bank of Poland, which is the largest bank in Israel, they admitted themselves that it means nothing, it would not hold up in court, and it's just, but it's something that we did in order not to lose all of our Haredi, you know, clients and customers.
Oh, wow.
Not
okay. Yeah, Chicago. Yeah, this definitely, I think, is going to open up many more topics that we have to figure out. I absolutely don't know the answers. Both things I read, the Rabbi Bleichon and also this Sefer in Hebrew, had numerous cases, and things are better and things are worse. Both of them were trying to talk about how, in theory, you can make it better, just making the contracts more in line with Heter Iskah to make it very firmly established so this way the courts will accept it. But yes, it's Ray Blake was very into that. What I heard was I don't know yet, I have no idea, if any time somebody came to Chase with a secular case trying to uphold the Heter Iskah because they're going to swear on it. I don't know if that happened yet. I can't imagine if it actually happens, unfortunately, that Chase is going to come and say, actually, it says the Nachal Sheva chapter 40, that we're going to be exempt in this case and not be able to collect our ribbis. I don't know what they're going to do. But what I heard was Willie came out more in favor of bottom line is still in there. It's on the books in the terms and contracts. And Ray Reese was less into it because he's not sure it's going to hold up in court. In the shiur he gave, he was pro it. So whatever. Right now, let's continue. I don't know. There's too many pieces to know.
Does anybody say that it doesn't matter at all what the courts say and if it holds up in courts or not? As long as if you went to a din Torah, they would respect it, so that's the din.
In the Chalka bin Yamin, he has like a contrast. He does talk about what if they write interest all over it and then they say Heter Iskah. He brings the Bris Yehud, he brings Poskim that doesn't pass all it, but he evid just because they said it should be interest. In terms of, he says, though, he thinks B'dievet does passel if they think it's Stam and Segula. He quotes Ramosha. Ramosha also says, if the lender and the borrower, whatever, if the lender doesn't think this is real, that it's binding, and he just says, I'll do it just to make them happy, for that Ramosha says it doesn't work. In those chuvas, Ramosha has lots of chumras in this area, basically, or whatever. Ramosha basically votes for his kula, which is the corporation kula. But he does quote one posek who says, even if they think this is a total joke, it works anyway. That's in Hay. He quotes that from the Rishlomo Kluger. So I don't know. Even if they think it's a total joke, if they signed, it's included. So I don't know how far to take. I have no idea all the conditions. Okay. Anyway, other fun things I saw was it was brought up in Kalman told me about this, that people, and then some of the banks in Israel, they don't want to have the old Heter Iskah because of cases that came up and had trouble. So they use the Chachmas Adam Shtar or one or other things that include a line that says a clause, if you don't admit to your, if you don't come to our court or anywhere, every Erev Rosh Chodesh declaring that you had losses, so it's Shtika Kohoda, Hodas Baldin Kameidim, it's like you accepted that you had gains this month and you're going to pay us. And they make it even harder. They talk about maybe you have to go, and Ramosha has, maybe you'll say, you have to come into shul during Kriyas HaTorah every Thursday, and if you don't come in, it's like you declared that you're not going to have any, so you're not going to have any profits, then, so yeah, you could use the out of the Heter Iskah, but since it's so impractical, people aren't going to use it. Rosh Sternbach very much does not like that. Ramosha had no problem with that, but Rosh Sternbach thought that it makes it sort of meaningless, Heter Iskah. So we're going to get to the Edom. I want to get to the Edom in Shulchan Aruch. We'll do Kuf Samo Zayin. That's like the part I'm actually get to. If there is no gains, Ramosha says it's a problem. The way around that, just by the way, he says if you know that the guy's house sat on fire and he know he didn't gain anything, he could took out a mortgage from your bank in order to build a house, and then the house went on fire, so you know he didn't gain anything, he lost money, so he shouldn't be able to collect interest. So Ramosha says that, but he says you should write it in a way that's not clear that you're doing it on a specific investment. You're not doing it so he should only build a house, because this way you won't know. You'll say, I'll take profits. I'll be Kona a share in whatever profits he made in whatever other deals he could have possibly made. Because I gave him money for a mortgage, he also could have had other money on the side to start a small business or something else. And since you won't be sure of that, it won't be hard to be sure about everything. Even the banks won't know about everything that the guy is involved with. That'll make it so that you won't be certain that he lost. Because if it's certain that he lost money, then you can't charge him interest, honestly saying, I won't trust him with the shvuah. Because you know everybody knows that it lost. Okay. Yeah, what other things? The Ramosha was into understanding it. The Heterska Klali, Ramosha is not so excited about. Okay. The last thing over here was just interesting, and then I'll do it in Shai Shachan Aruch, was the non-recourse loans. This and Sefer Heteriska Hachadosh had an interesting idea. It's based on Ramosha. But his point was it's not just Ramosha. What happens if you do a mortgage loan with non-recourse loan? It just means like this. If they say, we can collect your house, if you foreclose, if you can't pay on your mortgage, the bank could foreclose on your house, but they can't go any more personal liability into other assets you have. Now, what I read is this is not so common, but many, many people do have it. I can't walk into a random bank and get it for myself. Most banks won't give it to me. But what I read is it happens in the world. It does exist in some jurisdictions more than others that the courts assume this. I don't really know when and where it is. But if you do have that, and Reese also brought this up, he said for the Quicken loans, he thought if you're going to have the non-recourse loans, certainly B'dieved, this is helpful. Because according to Ramosha, there's no personal liability anytime there's no way that I could be personally chayev. Ramosha's way to say it is to be a love means that you have a shibud aguf. You have an personal obligation to take care of this, and if you can't pay, you're going to go to work and make sure to make more money. And anytime it's a corporation, so it's limited liability. So that's his heter over there. The same thing should apply, the Sefer was talking about, the Sefer Heter Eska Chadash, with mortgages, he was saying you should make it so non-recourse loans. Okay, it's great for the consumers, it's not so great for the banks. And he got like 10 haskamas, and some of the haskamas said, yeah, this is great, but you didn't ask any of the banks, so the bank, they didn't agree with you. Okay, so maybe they will, I don't know, but basically he... And Ray Reese mentioned this also. According to Ramosha, it should really be much better. And according to lots of other, the Rav Zalman Nechemia, Rav Sternbach, Rav Fisher, and others, they said it should at least knock it down to Dir Rabbanan, so then it should be no Shaila for the Heteriska Klali and other things. Anyway, any other comments, questions, thoughts before I do? Now I want to do Kuf Samach Zion, some points over there.
You scrolled over quickly, the understanding it?
Yeah. That was. I just wanted to say,
relevant in the case you mentioned before about the not firm guy who was causing problems.
I think that is what it's relevant for. Yeah,
because he obviously didn't have in mind that it should apply.
Yeah, the Chalka Ben Yamin, it's section Hay he has on this thing, and he brings some who he says if you don't say anything and you sign it. Even if you know that they're not religious, he said you can work. That's mutl achila. He said lots of poskim are okay with it. He said it's when they say with their tongue, "I don't believe in this." He said most poskim say, "We don't hold of it." Then it's trouble. The only posek that was okay with it was like the Shlomo Kuliger, but I don't think you need to test everybody. I think like you put it in the contract and you assume what he's getting into, he's taking seriously.
So that wise guy would have lost in a Din Torah also?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think the Din Torah would have been Mechayev him because he signed. Sorry, not Mechayev him. Sorry, he would have won. If he had a Din Torah, I think the Din Torah would have... Oh, sorry, no, sorry. The guy said he took it as a joke. Yeah, sorry. He would have been Mechayev even in the Torah, yes. I didn't actually hear what you said. Scott, you want to say? Or Dubin?
I was just going to say, nowadays, people sign contracts all the time that they don't read so carefully. And you understand, like, I'm agreeing to the Apple terms and conditions. I'm not reading all them, but I understand them. They're all going to be binding, even though I didn't read it closely. So maybe in our world... So like, okay, you didn't know about this Heter Iska Kali because you didn't read all the fine print, but that's how everything works.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very valid point because There's usually language in every contract that says that I am fully aware of understanding what I'm signing, yada, yada, yada. If you don't read it, you don't read it, but you can't sign a document and then go to court and say, oh, I didn't know, right? It's not my fault if you had a bad lawyer. It's not my fault if you were too lazy to read the documents. And I think the same thing should work in any LSS document.
I agree. The only things that I was seeing that I put there from Rav Moshe is if the guy doesn't have any understanding of it, maybe, and he doesn't know what it even means at all, and he hasn't accepted. What?
Maybe a screen back?
Yeah, of course.
But your thing with Rav Moshe is that he has to, like...
He doesn't have to know that. He didn't have to go to yeshiva. No, that was from the Chalka Ben Yamin. If he says, I don't believe in this, that's a trouble. That was the Chalka Ben Yamin. Rav Moshe sounds a little bit more... Machmir, he says, I don't know if I quoted the best part of it, but no, that's not whatever. Chach masladim srichim shia anyanim halal mevuar mishit bishtar v'yedu yavinu zalova malva. This line is actually important. It sounds like he wanted to connect that idea with the shach and bach. There's a shach. It comes from a Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says from a Rambam. If I do sub with somebody, it's mutter as long as it's yeshla. What if I'm willing to give you 100 pounds of gold for 100 pounds of gold, or any commodity, but you don't know that, but that should be sub-sa. It could go up in price, but it's yeshlo. You have 1 ounce of gold or something like that. It's yeshlo for the person that's going to supply it has right now 1 ounce. And the Malva doesn't realize that. He just thinks he's doing an Isser transaction. So the Beis Yosef says from the Rambam that you're not allowed to do something that he thinks is Usser unless you tell him and he realizes there's going to be Mutter. But that the Bach and Shach say that's not Usser B'dievid, that's just like you're tripping up somebody who thinks they're doing something wrong. You should really tell them that you're doing something right. But that's his comparison. You know what? I'll leave this topic for another time, because it's really beyond me. But there are more tshuvas or emotions specifically about people who about this question about not accepting the heteriska, not knowing what it means. Anyway, it comes. Rav Avadia has in Halichat Olam a little bit about the heteriska klali, and a lot of people. Reese mentioned this. Is some poskim say if it's in their documents, but nobody reads it, or it's hanging on their wall, and nobody pays attention. But then you also mention it, Baal Peh, or you mention to them, oh, I want to follow Heter Iska Kloli, so then that becomes serious, because then you're saying, you're describing that this is, to me, important. So we should particularly follow in our case.
Like a lot of the Froom lenders, like there's a bank called Cross River in Jersey, owned by a bunch of guys in 510. So in their mortgage document, it references the Heter Iska, and it says, as found on our website, with the URL to their website.
Right.
And so if a borrower wants to, he doesn't have to, but if a borrower wants to, he goes on to the website and he reads the Heter Iska, which is in Hebrew and English, and understand it. That's pretty much as best as you can do. You can't give a shear to every borrower, right? Explaining.
Yeah. Now, Rav Moshe even puts in, it's sometimes going to cause Ava to talk about, to put it in English and all the different words to explain, you have to have kosher edim, and you have to, this is only works for Jews, I'm giving this contract. For non-Jews, I'm going to have different standards. So he said, you can't really write that in any bank document, you're only going to do this for Jews. So you have to do it for non-Jews too. And you have to trust them with the shvuah. You can't trust a non-Jew with the shvuah, so you have to make them bring edim. You have to have Jewish edim, and so on and so forth. It's going to be a little tough. Okay. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch, this is the part I want to get in a little bit. Shulchan Aruch Kofsan Lazayin brings up the following fascinating idea that it's mutter to do the following following deal. I could say, Malva Adam Lachavero, maybe I'm going to get this on my screen and I'll share it. We can get it quickly. Okay, so malva adam lechaveru mana tonight. She'd ask about the rebbe. Malva achim shneimon. So I appoint somebody. I say, Yanko, could you work for me? Invest my money until it becomes double the price. So, okay, if you can do such a good investment in 1 year, you're pretty rich. You'll probably get pretty rich, but it doesn't really matter what percent you choose. I want you to work on my money and invest it until you make 100% profit. Or you can pick 10% profit. It doesn't matter. Or 5% for a year. And that's a full pikadon. You're telling them, I want you to work on my money. Okay? And during that time, since pikadon, so it's going to be... it's going to be Bachrayas HaMalva. That's considered in my... That's going to be my, in my responsibility. I take responsibility during that time. But when it be, then at some point, when it becomes worth double the amount, when it finally hits the... appreciates to the amount that the investment was supposed to become worth, so at that point and forward, so then I'll consider it a loan. Then you could take the money and invest it yourself. Yachzur l'shnei manim l'malva. Then you could turn it over into a loan. So Yankel, I said, I want to make 10% on my $1,000. Invest it for me. The minute you make 10%, you could sell out. Now you have that money is from now on your capital as an interest-free loan going forward. And then you can invest it. You can make all the money for yourself. Anything you make or lose from that point on is your business. Okay, so what happened here is effectively, I gave him money. First it was an investment, then it became a loan. And then you have to also pay him, right? You have to pay him a little bit, a tiny bit, so this way he should be able to work on it without him working for free. Okay? You could also arrange it to be the opposite. First he could take it as a loan, and then I'll use it as a pikadon. Okay? The gra on this doesn't like that. I'm not getting into it just but because basically he thinks this is you can't do a kol shehu. The kol shehu of the Gemara that you could pay someone a tiny bit is only fair if at the same time he's working on your money, half of it's an investment, half of it's a loan. So that makes sense that you could pay him a little bit to also work on yours. But not if originally he's working on mine to make full profit for me, and then he's going to take it a loan. Basically, he's doing something for me for my benefit because he knows he's going to get a loan later. That's the Gra's Taina. So yes, it probably does have relevance for the Heteriska, but I'm not getting into the Gra's sheet on Heteriska. He's the only one that's like on the books in the Maaser Rav. He has his Taina that people said he didn't like the Heteriska. A different day, but that probably is his sheet. It's not so clear in Kosama Zayin. It's a long piece, so I'm not reading it. The Taz gets into some interesting things here. He says, he quotes a Trumas Hadeshen. And the Trumas Hadeshen said, basically very similar to our Heteriska, he said, if you give money to your friend for half profit, and you want to make sure you'll be able to get back your Karen. So he says, you're allowed to make sure that I'm only going to trust you if you bring Edim into the town. And which Edim? The rabbi and the Shliach Sibur. Why? Because most likely those people don't know anything about business, and they're going to be not aware of what happened, so they're not going to be able to be Edim on the stuff. This is the Trumas Hadeshen. Right? Rochi Akaren Shalom Batuach. I want to make sure I'm going to get back my money, so I'm going to say I'm only going to trust the rabbi and the Shliach Sibur. Those are only two people possibly. Okay? And then he goes on and so forth. But you can't do that for the profits. You only can do that for the getting back the capital. Okay, and finally it comes out from the Levush and the Taz, and they're arguing with specific Heteriska that they had in their day, which said for the capital you have to bring Edom. And the Levush said, what's going to be? So you're going to say one person in Canada and one person in Australia have to be your Edom. I'm only going to trust them, and I don't trust anybody else in the world to say that you made profit. So he said, that's one big joke. He said, that's Ribbis Katsutsa. Taz said, it's not Ribbis Katsutsa. He says, it's Avik Ribbis. But Haram is Ribbis. Neither of them like that old Heteriska. Now, they said, what about the Trumas Hadeshen? Trumas Hadeshen was smarter. He split it up. He said, if you're going to say on the capital you have to have Edom, that's reasonable. He said, because that's at worst, you get back your capital. That's not Ribbis, Shaila. You're just getting back your capital. And also, it's reasonable to say, I don't trust that you had losses. But to say that you didn't make money, how can you be so sure that someone didn't necessarily make money? Sometimes the guy just kept the money under his mattress, or he made very little. But to say, I'm sure you didn't make 10% this year, and I don't trust you until you make a shvuah on that. Is that you can make the guy make a shvuah, but you can't take Edom, bring Edom for that purpose. That's the Taz's opinion. That I think the heteroskos today have. The Chag Ben Yom even suggests maybe we should do a shvua on everything. We shouldn't even do Edom for anything. Okay. That would be even better. Fine. Suffice it to say, but, you know, I have to go back and forth. There's one other piece of this Taz I thought was kind of relevant. The Taz has a heter that the Levush came up with for a heteriska that you could basically sell the guy, I'm going to sell you something in 6 months from now, and if I don't deliver it, I'm going to deliver your $10,000 of goods in 6 months. And if I don't deliver it by that time, so I have to pay you extra. Okay, so he comes up with a way of doing a heteriska with a penalty, and the Taz doesn't like it. Shachar there says, as long as it's technically on the books, Mekel Memkar, it's not going to be Haram the service. All right, I guess I need to get more into this another day. Any questions on these big inyanim? All right. Shikach, Chazak Baruch. Amir Jashem, another day, we'll talk more. All right.
You said at the beginning that from the Chometz Chaim that even if the Heteriska works, it's not a mitzvah.
Yes, that's in the Chag Ben Yom.
Some argue because if you have Paga Milva, Paga Pikana, half Sahava without any ribbons.
I could hear, but I think the Chometz Chaim said not because you want to benefit somebody. It's a tzedakah to give it, and this is not like your bottom line, you're requiring them to give you something back. So it's not a full tzedakah.
Okay. But in our days. And you have half the tzedakah without.
So
okay, whatever.
It is. You're saying today in our day and age, it still could be a gemilah chesed if I can't get that type of loan from the bank. So I would say, the Chofetz Chaim is talking about the mitzvah of kesef talva and ami, giving a guy a free loan. In terms of that, you're not really doing with the mitzvah of the Torah of kesef talva and ami, giving a guy a free loan. That you're not doing. Are you doing after the gemilah doing chesed for the guy? I would say maybe. Yes, it probably depends on the case. There's too many factors to be sure of it.
Right.
And I don't know. I'm just not, it's interesting. Yeah, maybe yes, maybe no. I'm not sure. All right.
Okay.
Good. Sorry, I didn't get more deeper into this. All right, Shikar Dubin.
Okay. Thanks for coming back, Dubin.
Thanks. Bye, guys.